Have you ever been tempted to give up or check out in your walk with God? Have you been at a place in life's journey where you felt overwhelmed and overshadowed by life's obstacles, setbacks, or heartaches? It could be you're at such a place right now, a place where you are hungering for hope. If so, then Hope Along the Journey podcast is a ministry of encouragement created specifically with you and others just like you in mind. And now, here is your host, Mark Cravens, to share a word of encouragement with you today.
Thank you so much for joining me today for this episode of Hope Along the Journey. Hi, I'm Mark Cravens, your broadcast host here of this episode of Hope Along the Journey, and it is such a joy to have you listening today. We've got a very exciting episode ahead of us today, and I have a guest with me here today from Carmel, Indiana, none other than Peggy McMillan. Peggy, welcome to today's episode of Hope Along the Journey.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's such a privilege.
Yeah, it was such a joy to have you about a year ago, and now you let me know you were in town, and I'm so glad you took the time to come this morning and to record this episode. In just a few moments, we're going to be discussing the subject of the importance of the big picture in your child's education. And Peggy has done a lot of research in this area. She has done homeschooling for a number of years when her children were younger. And so we're going to be hearing her remarks and comments on this exciting subject. But before we do that, I just want to encourage those of you who haven't yet signed up for our newsletter to go to our website. That's hopealongthejourney.org. If you'll just go to that website, there'll be a screen that'll pop up to say, stay in touch. And if you'll just give us your email, we'll put you on the newsletter email list. Also, we'd love for you to join us on our social media pages. So look for me on Facebook, Instagram. I'm even on LinkedIn. So we would love to connect with you. Send me an email sometime to let me know you're listening, what you think about the Hope Along the Journey ministry, and maybe some idea that you have about what you'd like for us to discuss at some time. So please send me an email at hopealongthejourney.com, and just let me know that you're listening, and we would just love to know what your thoughts are about this ministry. Again, today we want to talk about the importance of the big picture in your child's education, the big picture. So, Peggy, here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. First of all, talk to us about what the big picture is. What do you mean by the big picture, and why is that important?
Well, Pastor Mark, the big picture is important because, as someone said, if you don't know what you're aiming at, you're never going to hit it.
That's true.
And so the big picture means, what do I want my child to look like at the end of this journey? Now, you never finish being a parent, but if you look at, say, age 18 as kind of the goal of when your major responsibilities are finished, what do I want that to look like?
Right.
And so knowing the big picture determines the outcome. It's going to determine how your child turns out. It's going to determine your long-range goals and then your short-range goals. Mm-hmm. And it's going to determine your curriculum choices, mm-hmm, or your schooling choice, whether you choose to homeschool, send your child to Christian school or public school is going to be determined, mm-hmm, by what your mission is, what you want it to look like at the end. And then it's going to determine your priorities and your scheduling. And that includes how you use your time and how you use your money as you're rearing your children.
That's great. How, to be honest with you, how many parents do you think have really sat down and assessed what their goals are or what the big picture is when it comes to their child's education?
Unfortunately, I think very few do. Mm-hmm. I think there's been a big emphasis lately with business and with just life in general. People are talking more about mission statements, mm-hmm, in business or in churches.
Right.
But I think for families, it's very rare. And that's why I want to talk about it, because I think that's why some, especially, I'm going to say 90% of what I'm going to say is going to be directed to homeschoolers, mm-hmm, because they're the most involved in their child's education. And if you don't know what you want to accomplish at the end, you get bogged down in the middle. Mm-hmm. Every curriculum that comes across your desk, every person that you talk to who's emphasizing one thing or another, it's very tempting to get distracted. Mm-hmm. And you have to know where you're headed to stay on the right road, or you end up with detours.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Because, you know, if you go to a Christian school, normally a Christian school has some kind of mission statement. They have kind of probably set up in their minds, or at least they should have,
right,
you know, what the end product should look like for those who come through their schooling. But you're right. Homeschooling is kind of like, you've got to set that mission and statement. You've got to set those goals of what it is you really want to see accomplished by the time they turn the tassel and when they graduate from high school. So let's look at some of the, you've shared with me about why it's important, but what are some of those general principles or guidelines that we need to follow in order to accomplish this big picture?
I think the first one, Pastor Mark, is your purpose as a parent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No matter what educational method you choose, mm-hmm. our goal as a Christian parent is to make disciples.
Amen.
That's the command that we have from Christ, is to make disciples. And we sometimes think about that in a church setting or, you know, in our one-on-one, but do we think about it with our children?
Right.
They are the number one people that we need to be discipling. Mm-hmm. And that has to be my purpose. Secondly, I have to determine what my mission, what my vision, what my values are, because like I said, that's going to determine the educational choice. And I always say you have to evaluate it along the way, a year at a time,
yes.
a child at a time. People would sometimes say to me, now, how long are you going to homeschool? I mean, I homeschooled for 20 years, okay? People would say, how long are you going to homeschool? Are you going to do it through high school? Isn't that kind of scary? And my answer was always, well, till 3 o'clock today anyway, because I can't tell you what tomorrow is going to hold. So to make sure that my educational choices line up with and achieve that mission.
That's great.
And then I need to know my community. I need to know what are the regulations in my state. Some states are very, very strict on homeschoolers, and you have to do lesson plans and turn them in. And you need to know that. You need to know, and you need to know what support is available for you. Can you tap into the public school? Can your child be involved in sports in the Christian school? Can they be involved in music? Are there helps for parents with special needs children to tap into in the public education system? So you have to know that community as well.
Where would you find some of that, Peggy? Where would you start? I mean, I'm sure you can Google anything these days, but where would you kind of start? If, let's say, you moved to a new state, you moved to Indiana or Wyoming, where would you start to find out some of this?
Most states have a homeschooling organization to help.
Okay.
And so you could Google that at first. And then I would tap into the public school and say, do you have any special, if your child has an IEP, an individualized educational plan through a school, then they can sometimes get help even if your child is not enrolled. Some won't let you. They won't help you at all, but others will. And you have to kind of learn those things. Talk to other parents. Just find out. You talk to your church. Find out what resources are out there for you.
That's great. That's great. All right. So what else? You've talked about having an overall purpose to make disciples of Jesus, which, by the way, I really like that, making disciples of Jesus Christ, because I think in the final analysis, if we turn them out to be whatever and they don't turn out to be followers of Jesus, we really have missed the mark, haven't we?
Well, they can be president of the United States or the most brilliant heart surgeon in the world. And if they don't know Jesus and they don't walk with him, you know, then
that's right.
You haven't accomplished your main, what you're wanting to do.
So determining your mission, knowing your community. So what else would be important?
I think the next very important thing is to know your child.
Yeah.
Every child has a different learning style. They have strengths. They have weaknesses. Some have learning challenges. What time of day and what environment do they function best in? Observation sheets are even helpful for this. Teresa Moon has a book called Evaluating for Excellence, and she has these sheets where you just kind of watch your child and take note of what you're seeing. And some parents are so busy in the day-to-day, they don't even take time to do that. But you know your child better than anyone, and that's why many homeschooling advocates will argue that you are your child's best teacher because you have a head start because you know your child. Mm-hmm. And if you determine one type of schooling is best for one child and a different for another, that's okay. We did that. We had one child in public school for 2 years. We had one that was homeschooled all the way, and we had one that was homeschooled halfway and then went to public school. So like I said, year at a time, a child at a time. And you determine those things, not somebody else.
That's very good.
And then next, I'm going to use the word unbox, which is kind of an interesting term. Mm-hmm. But you have to define the details of what that's going to look like for your family. Your family's homeschool does not have to fit into someone else's box. Every family has a different husband, a different wife. Some are homeschooling as single parents. Your children are all different from each other. Your circumstances are different. Your schedules are different, and your emphases are going to be different. Every family is going to emphasize different areas of disciple making. Mm. Some are going to be heavy on the arts. Some are going to be super heavy on science and math. My children did not do well because they did not have parents who did well in math and science. But boy, can they read, can they write, and can they speak? So we wanted to raise communicators, and that was important to us. It was not important to the family down the street. Mm-hmm. They wanted their kids to be able to be surgeons and to be able to be lawyers, and so they emphasized different things.
And, of course, understanding where your child's giftedness is, too,
yes,
you know, is important in this, because if a child is especially gifted in a certain area, you're going to want to try to make sure that you shape that child's educational pursuit in a way that somehow complements some of their gifts, don't you?
Exactly. And Mark, I would argue that that is the real meaning of train up a child in the way he should go. Mm. Train a child according to his bent. Train him in the way God has crafted him.
That's great.
He's old, he's not going to depart from that.
Yeah, because God did create our children with unique personalities and gift sets and all of that. And yeah, if they're a hammer and we try to make them a screwdriver, they're going to be frustrated, aren't they?
And that's why we need to listen to the Lord, because I don't know what's in my child's future. Mm-hmm. God is the only one who knows. He knows what they're going to need, and I can trust him to guide me in doing
that.
That's
great.
Every family, you're going to have different roles and responsibilities. And then you're going to follow different models or different approaches to your schooling. You're going to choose different curriculum. There are thousands out there. Your learning environment, your routines and your schedules, they're going to be different. There was a time when my husband was working nights. My friends, I would go to homeschooling moms meetings, and I would come back so discouraged because everybody had their kids in bed by 7:30, and then they had all this time with their husband, and their lives were so organized. And I would go home and cry because my life wasn't like that. And finally, I had a friend who said, "Peggy, our life is not like theirs. Our husbands work at night. Our kids are up till 11 o'clock because if they weren't, they would never see their dad."
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure those things out for your family.
That's good. Thank you for sharing that. I think that personal insight is truly helpful.
And I really want to recommend a resource. I want to do this a couple of times, and I do have their permission to share this with you. The website is schoolunboxing.com. The couple who started this resource is friends of mine, and their names are Nathan and Charity Hepworth, and they have an entire course that you can purchase, and there is a substantial fee to enroll in this course. But it's very worthwhile. It's an investment for any family beginning the homeschooling journey or needing to evaluate and restart their journey. Your enrollment does not only include 7 wonderful teaching modules, it's also ongoing coaching to help you all along the way. And it offers some free mini courses. One of them, for instance, is how to work at home and homeschool.
Okay.
And then they have a Facebook group that offers a lot of support. And I think if you're just starting out, it's an investment, but I think it's very, very important and a great help.
Yeah, because I know people who have tried homeschooling And they weren't prepared. They had no idea what they were doing. And then it just ended up in being frustrating.
Yes.
And a bad experience for both them and their children. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that. So how do you do, where do you start? How do you do this? You know, that's, so can you give us some good how-to stuff here?
I'm all about how-tos.
Okay, great.
So yes, I think first of all, husband and wife have to be, if you are married and you're doing this, husband and wife need to be of one mind. First, you have to determine your reasons. If you're choosing to homeschool, why are you doing it? And every family has different reasons for it.
True.
And then you have to choose the approach that you're going to use. And there are many, and I'll just throw some out there. For instance, you could follow a traditional approach that basically uses textbooks and workbooks or videos, but it's the way most of us learned. There's the classical approach where you teach the trivium, where they argue that there's a grammar stage where kids learn facts and framework, and then they get a little older, and there's the dialectic stage where it's all about discussion and debate, and then finally the rhetoric where they learn to write and speak. It's real heavy on literature and history. The Well-Trained Mind by the wise... the last name is Wise. Mm-hmm. That's a great resource mm-hmm. for classical mm-hmm. education. And there's a lot out there for the classical approach, way more than back when we were starting to use it. Mm-hmm. Unit studies. You might follow a theme or a topic and develop it over mm-hmm. time and through weave it through all your subjects. Living books. A lot of people have heard of Charlotte Mason. You teach basic reading, writing, and math skills, but then you explore through nature and through
books. Interesting. Okay.
Then another approach is unschooling or relaxed, where you kind of throw away the textbooks completely and you have a few broad goals, but you have a lot less structure. You explore each child's interests. For many people, that would never work, because you need more structure, but there are a few people out there who can make that work.
Okay.
I'm going to say most people are going to use a mixed approach. And an example of that, just one example might be, you might use a traditional math or science curriculum. You might use unit studies for history, literature, art, and music, and philosophy, and then use a computer program to teach typing and personal finance.
Yes. I've known a lot of parents who did that, just kind of a blended way of schooling.
But you have to make sure that what you're choosing fits into the mission. That's the key thing to remember, because you go to a homeschool convention and you are bombarded with hundreds of curriculum choices, and you have to ask yourself, does this fit the approach that I've chosen?
Yes.
There was a time when my husband and I first discovered this concept, and we had a car trip, and I read him all this information, and I said, so what approach do you think we should be taking? And he said, oh, hands down the classical approach. And I laughed and I said, well, you'll have to do that with your next wife, because I can't do that. I didn't learn that way. Uh-huh. I've never even read those books. I can't do it. And I'll speak more about that in just a moment. But the next step, besides determining your reasons and your approach, is to listen to your husband. Dad is the principal of your school. And you must be on the same page. If you disagree, for instance, on the approach that you want to take, mm-hmm. it's easy for mom to put her foot down and say, hey, I'm the one that's going to be doing all this work. You're just kind of on the fringe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it my way. That's a big mistake for a wife. Mm-hmm. So you may need to compromise. And if push comes to shove, you need to submit and do it dad's way, because God has put him in charge. And then you sit down together and you set your long-range goals. You start general and add the details later. What do you want your kids to know and do before they leave home? And Luke 2:52 was my guide for this. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. So spiritually, socially, mm-hmm. and then mentally, and physically. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are included. And you have to realize that to do this, to sit down as a couple and talk through all this.
It's so important, isn't it?
It's very important, but it can be very overwhelming. And you're like, I don't think I can do that. It's so very important. They don't happen by osmosis. You have to know what you want it to look like at the end of the journey and break it into smaller pieces. And one suggestion that I learned from a lady in Indianapolis named Inga Cannon, she spoke at a lot of homeschool events, and she suggested take a scope and sequence from any curriculum. So Bob Jones, Abeka, Harcourt, whatever, any curriculum you want. And it's going to tell you what they should learn at each, what all the things they're going to learn at each grade level. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, cross out the grade levels and you decide at what age do I want my child to know that or have mastered that. Secondly, cross out everything you don't care if they ever learn. Because there's going to be some stuff that kids learn in school that you don't care if your kids ever learn.
Right.
And then add in the things that you do want them to know, especially life skills. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I would have crossed out, and this is why having this meeting as a couple is so important. I would have crossed out Greek and Roman mythology. I don't care if my kids ever know that. My husband would have a conniption fit.
Oh, I would. I get that. Yeah.
Because he would say, if you don't understand that kind of thinking, you are not going to understand Western culture. You're not going to understand. Our kids have to know that. So the Iliad and the Odyssey and all of those were very, very important to him. And I was like, okay, wow. Okay. Well, how about you teach that?
Good move on your part.
Yes. Yeah. And then adding in those life skills. And I think a lot of parents think that this is just going to happen. Okay. And it does kind of happen as you roll along as a family, but I think you have to be more intentional than a lot of families are.
Yes.
Do you, for instance, I want them to know how to plan, budget, shop, and prepare meals for 1 week. Well, I might be sort of teaching them bits and pieces of that, but until I give them that assignment when they're in their teen years, I'm not going to know if they can really do that.
Right.
And so then they go off and get married or go off and get an apartment and they're calling me every 5 minutes because they don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I wanted them to know how to explain the gospel clearly to an unbeliever and to disciple a new believer.
Absolutely.
And can you follow a program or can you walk alongside a new believer? That's very important to me. They need to know how to do a job application, a resume, scholarship applications. Sit down with them and make sure they know that and evaluate whether they really know how to do it. How to take care of their clothing, mending, ironing, all that stuff. And then how to create a budget, balance a checkbook. You may even, this the Hepworth family says each of our kids has to start a business. So it could be small or big.
Wow, yeah.
But you have to decide what's important to you and put it in there.
Mm-hmm. I know families that actually have raised chickens that lay eggs, and that was the business that they taught their children, was to take care of those chickens and then to sell those eggs and save the money and all of that. But that raising those chickens and selling eggs, they felt like was part of educating their child on how to start a business on your own.
Exactly.
Which again, if that's a value, something that's your value that you want to pass on to your children, then you need to take some initiative to make sure that they're educated in that direction.
Exactly. And you might adjust it. I remember the first time we did this, I put that I wanted them to know how to change a tire and change their oil. Well, I can't do that. So that was a little unfair in the first part, in the first place. And secondly, I decided along the way that as long as they knew how to call AAA and they knew how to pull into Jiffy Lube, that was good enough.
Yeah, I get that now. Right. Yeah, that's good. Well, one or two more things. We have time for a couple more things
okay,
here.
Okay, so next you're going to set your short-range goals, and they're going to be based on your long-range goals. Okay. So that's where you're going to make your curriculum choices, your field trips. If you attend a homeschool convention, you're going to choose the workshops that you attend based on the mission that you want to accomplish. And as far as curriculum choices, you know, and then you're going to make your time and money choices based on that. We all want our children to know everything and be accomplished in every area. If we're honest, that's what we really want. Okay, but children have different abilities.
No,
like you said, God's gifted them all differently. And I have limited time and limited money. I can't do it all. Don't compare your family and your schooling journey to anyone else.
That's great.
That is advice. A trap of the devil, and you have to fight against that all the time. I think the moms especially, we get so overwhelmed when we feel like we failed in something, mm-hmm. and you absolutely can't let that happen. And then you have to live by the priorities you set. Mm-hmm. Put most of your time and money into the areas that you have decided are most important. And find the most efficient way to accomplish the goal. So when you go to that convention and you pass a booth about some art or something that you're not doing, you don't break down in tears and say, oh, my children are going to be failures because I'm not doing that and I'm going to have to fix that, put that into my curriculum. Okay, look, go back and look at your goals. If that's not a big priority, walk right on by and don't put your time and money into that. Mm-hmm. Later, you might adjust it. If you see your child has a gifting in that area, okay, pick that up. But don't be convinced by someone on the outside to do something that doesn't fit into your plan. And that's how you evaluate all the new information that comes across. When you learn something new about your child, then adjust it. Mm-hmm. And then I think this is so important. Be encouraged by any progress. We are accountable for our faithfulness, not the end result. And I want to make sure that I clarify, Pastor Mark, because at the beginning I said, know what you want it to look like. You want to make a disciple of Jesus Christ. We have to realize our children are individuals and they have a will. I cannot make my child love Jesus.
That's true.
I can create an environment where that is normal and attractive, but they have to make that choice. And if I have a child at 18 who turns their back on the Lord, I cannot think that is all my fault. Mm-hmm. I cannot take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. I am responsible to parent biblically. I am not responsible for the end result. And that's why most of what we do is pray. We just pray absolutely. A lot. And then be encouraged by God's sovereignty and promises. And this is where hope along the journey comes in. If you feel like you failed miserably so far, don't give up. There are a couple truths that we have to remember. Philippians 1:6 says, God's begun a good work and he's going to perform it. Jeremiah 29:11, God has these plans for us and they're plans for good.
Yes.
God alone knows what your children need to know in the future. If you let him guide your choices, he's going to make sure that they're equipped for what he has them to do. Mm-hmm. There isn't enough time and money to do everything. But as one of my pastors said, God gives us, this is very convicting, God gives us all the time we need each day to gracefully accomplish everything he wants us to do. So if you don't have enough time, then you're either not using it efficiently or you've put more on your plate than God intended for you to do.
Wow. That's great advice, Peggy. Thank you for sharing that. And I do hope today that people who are really serious about seeing their children raised with a great Christian environment and with a Christian worldview and a biblical worldview will listen to what you've shared today, because you've shared some very important principles and steps. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for taking the time to be here this morning.
Oh, my pleasure.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Hope Along the Journey. And as I always say and mean from the depths of my heart, look to Jesus, for he is truly the hope of the world, and he will help you find hope along the journey. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you would like to know more about Hope Along the Journey, or if you would like to make a donation to show your support and appreciation for this ministry, then visit our website at hopealongthejourney.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for more Hope Along the Journey.